M. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Linda Kenyon. The Gaza Health Ministry says an Israeli attack in the south of the Gaza Strip has killed 71 people and injured scores more. The BBC's Nick Beek reports from Israel.
This is an area where Palestinians had been told by the Israeli authorities that they would be safe. It was a designated so-called safe zone. But clearly what's happened is there's been a huge airstrike here. What's clear is a lot of people have been killed, and that figure could rise sharply.
Israel says the target was the head of Hamas's military wing in Khan Yunis. President Biden campaigning in Detroit last night.
You probably noticed there's a lot of speculation lately. What's Joe Biden going to do? Is he going to stay in the race? Is he going to drop out? Here's my answer. I am running, and we're going to win. I'm not going to change that.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports some members of the Democratic caucus are still urging Biden to drop out.
He was confronted by a California Congressman, Mike Levin, who told him during a meeting, you got to get out of this race. You've done a great job as president. You're going to have a great legacy. Time to move on. He turned to Levin, apparently, according to our sources, and said, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to let people touch me. I'm going to let them poke me. I'm going to let them ask questions. And then you'll see why it is I'm remaining in this race.
A judge in New Mexico has thrown out the involuntary manslaughter case against actor Alec Baldwin. It said it cannot be filed again. Trey Lowell is the entertainment attorney.
The court found that the conduct of the prosecution fundamentally impacted the fairness of the case,
saying police and prosecutors withheld evidence.
The number one obligation that a prosecution has is to provide all evidence to the defense.
The case involved the on-set prop gun shooting death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins during rehearsal. Accessing the damage after AT&T customer information was breached. Here's CBS's Jolene Kent.
This is one of the biggest breaches in corporate history, and it affects nearly every single AT&T customer. The good news is, the silver lining here is that the content of the texts and calls that were breached were not necessarily accessed, and the personal information of the users were also not accessed.
Officials in the San Carlos Apache Reservation in Arizona suspect arson was behind this week's fire that destroyed several homes.
So far, no injuries are being reported, and the San Carlos Apache tribe tells us the blaze is the most destructive structural fire on reservation land in the last 30 years. And we spoke with a woman who lost her home. She says she couldn't believe how fast everything got destroyed.
We just lost everything. We just have the clothes, what we have on our back. That's it.
This is CBS News.
Switch to T-Mobile and save with tons of benefits on every plan. This is AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New research takes a grim view of Wisconsin's drinking habits. Mike Moen has more on calls for preventing alcohol abuse.
Wisconsin still ranks high for beer production, but Maureen Busalaki of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project says consumption levels for all types of alcohol overshadow market gains. For example, all Wisconsin counties exceed the national average for excessive alcohol use. And in 2022, the state recorded more than 3,300 alcohol-related deaths.
This has been an ongoing problem in Wisconsin. In part, I think, how our regulatory system works, how our culture works, and there's maybe not as much enforcement of policies as there are in other states.
Busalaki does see hope at the local level with stronger enforcement at community events. However, Busalaki reports that people who've developed a drinking problem often encounter waiting lists for treatment programs. Faith Gladham leads the Harbor Recovery Center, a nonprofit in central Wisconsin that emphasizes family support in transitioning to recovery. She says they're able to meet demand through their services, but referrals for more intensive help can be an issue.
We do not have enough treatment beds in Wisconsin. We do not have enough detox facilities that detox with dignity.
And Busolaki says it's important to understand not just the short-term effects, such as traffic fatalities, but the cumulative impact as well.
Cancer, high blood pressure, heart disease, liver disease, stroke. And then there's the social and wellness issues. You know, your family gets frustrated or you're losing work.
This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, 82. For tonight, a low around 72 with a scattered shower or thunderstorm late. For Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 91 with a heat index around 95. Hot again for Monday.
It's 64 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matinair on air.
July 13th, 2024. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha on WAUK. Excuse me, I take a little water there. Dry mouth. Again, I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I got Mighty Max on the board. And before we introduce our next guest, we've got Jane Matinier, our very own from As Goes Wisconsin, calling in from the farmer's market. Jane, how are you today?
I am great, Don Brown. Thank you very much. The show, by the way, is Matinair on air. You can listen.
I'm sorry. God,
Monday
terrible.
Through Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a beautiful morning to be out here at the Waukesha Farmer's Market. It really is lovely right now. If you want to avoid the hot heat, which is coming in later on today, I suggest you come out and join us right now. There's everything you could possibly need at the Waukesha Farmers Market, located in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank right next to the river. There's all kinds of bakery, bread, pies, of course, my favorite scones in the world, grass-fed beef, produce. Piles and piles of the most beautiful carrots and onions and potatoes, radishes, lettuce. If you're looking for it, it is here at the Waukesha Farmers Market. If you're looking to do a little shopping, maybe you have a birthday coming up, there's pottery, there's jewelry, soaps, all kinds of flowers, beautiful, huge sunflowers, incredible lilies. And then if you're looking for a snack, trust me, there are at least five different food trucks here that will take care of whatever you're hungry for. Empanadas, breakfast sandwiches, you name it, it's here. Stop by the Civic Media tent. You can register to win a great bicycle. We've also got treats for your dogs, and we have good candy today for the kids. So I hope you all come out and join us at the Waukesha Farmers Market. We are here until noon today. This is Jane Matinier for WAUK Radio. Back to you, Don.
Thank you, Jane. Jane Matinier, Matinier on air, Monday through Fridays, 10 to 12. My apologies to Jane. As Goes Wisconsin was the flagship show that she was involved with before rebranding, reinventing to Matinier on air. It's a fantastic show. I'm very embarrassed for that senior moment, that 57-year-old senior moment. I hope Jane won't hold that against me, but we are so grateful to have Jane as part of this WAUK Radio and Civic Media team. She has a wealth of experience. Many of you may remember her time with TMJ, and this is probably her third time covering the Waukesha Farmers Market, which really says a lot about what a great market it is. And Max, what do you got there?
Well, I actually got to do a school project with Jane. It was for my final four field production TV class this year, and it was for a biography project, just a 3 to 5 minute one. So it was actually super nice. I got to spend basically two whole days with Jane, just going through what she does and her experience. And I mean, the stuff that she had to offer for my project, just for a little school project was pretty incredible. So,
yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Max, because Jane is a rock star. And again, I apologize for that hiccup. And so I owe her a maple bacon scone if I can make it to the farmer's market. That's one of her favorite items there. So after the show. But I'm so excited to introduce my second guest. Thank you for reaching out. Amy Lee Sazema. Did I pronounce your surname correctly,
you
Amy?
You did, actually. You did. Thank
Sounds
you.
Great. And Amy is a fitness and yoga instructor here at the YMCA in Waukesha. And she's now an author with her first book coming out based on some life experiences. It's called Fleetwood Dreams, Climbing a Mountain After a Landslide. Amy, welcome.
Thank you so much, Don, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. So what inspired you to write this book?
Oh, good question. You're just going right into it. I love it. I've actually always wanted to be a writer. I went to school for journalism at UW-Whitewater.
That's right.
Yeah. And I actually originally wanted to do something in broadcasting. So
interesting.
I interned at different television stations around here, one in Madison and a radio station, actually.
Nice.
So that was my goal. And I ended up getting out of that because I really liked the creative side of writing.
Sure.
I was like, I like news, but I just want to go a little bit deeper.
Okay.
So I always envisioned myself writing a book, but I never knew what it was actually going to be about. I thought maybe a children's book.
Sure.
Maybe a nonfiction. I don't know.
Okay.
And then I felt at one point, okay, I have enough life experience that maybe I can write a memoir. And so that's kind of how it transpired. And I felt like my heart just pulled me into it, really.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, and because like I said, I think I told you off air when I first saw the title, I thought that, again, because you're involved in physical fitness, that you actually climbed a mountain and were caught in a landslide and it was about, but it's much more figurative than that.
Like I said, that would be a really cool story. I wish I could tell you that I fell and climbed up a mountain, but yes, it is much more figurative than that. Yep.
Sure. Sure. So it's very much dealing about loss.
Yes.
And healing.
Yep. Loss, grief, hardship. And my road to healing.
Nice. Nice. So in, Where does Fleetwood Dreams come from? And I apologize if I missed that.
No. Good question. A lot of people have asked me that, so that is not, you don't need to apologize for that. But Fleetwood Dreams actually comes from Fleetwood Mac, one of my favorite.
That's going to be my guess.
Yeah, that is exactly right. You guessed right. And some of the memories that I had growing up with, my parents both loved Fleetwood Mac. It was always blaring in the background in our house. And I just felt like, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like all of us have kind of a theme, like a theme song for our life and
sure.
or a group or a band, whatever. And I always felt like for me, it was Fleetwood Mac. And I feel like throughout the book, there's undertones of Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
And, during the good times, the hard times, the celebrations. And so I had to. It hit me one day. I was at the library writing and I was like, it's got to be Fleetwood Dreams. This is.
Right.
And I felt Love like it went really well with like the hope side of it too.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, sharing with personal, so growing up in a big family, I got influenced, I had a lot of great musical influences through my siblings.
Yeah.
I refer to Max as the Mighty Max, and that's Max Weinberg of the E Street Band, Bruce Springsteen's drummer.
Yeah.
And again, he, surrounded by a lot of Springsteen growing up, but also in 1977, Fleetwood Mac came out with its opus, the Rumors album. It ranks up there with like Carole King's Tapestry as one of the great albums of all time.
Yes.
And it's just an anthem of great, folk rock music. And many people forget this, but Fleetwood Mac started out as a blues band. It was like blues rock. It's real heavily driven. And as they kept changing members and they added Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, that it then gravitated towards that folk rock that had become, that was trending then in the 70s. But they really nailed it.
They nailed it. And that is actually the album, the Rumors album, that my parents listen to all the time.
Wow.
And it's funny because even now I teach yoga and I'm over at Carroll College too. And I have some Fleetwood Mac on my playlist.
You're teaching at Carroll?
I teach yoga, yeah.
That's
so
great.
I teach over at Carroll College. I teach at WCTC. I bounce around everywhere.
Sure,
I told
you
I'm mostly home with my daughter. She's my number one
priority. Do you live in Waukesha?
I do. I live over by Waukesha West with my husband and my daughter. But it's funny. I feel like I'm working now that I'm home with my daughter than I was working before, because all the hours that I work writing my book, teaching classes, I'm the group exercise coordinator at the Y, it's got to all be around her schedule. So I'm like, how do I feel like I'm working more now than I did before? But anyways, so I had some Fleetwood Mac. I always like to put a couple of their songs on my playlist when we're doing yoga, and I also teach Pilates as well.
Nice.
And it's funny because even the younger generation knows about Fleetwood Mac. They're like, oh, this, you know, I'm like, I wonder if they even know who this is. And they're like, we love that song.
And it's to me, as someone that kind of grew up in that era, that it's a great testament to how these bands survived the test of time. Yes. Like, there's kids that love Led Zeppelin, people love the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and even some of those, you know, bands that and this, like Grateful Dead, another one. And so it is very pleasing to see that those influences continue. Yeah. And especially, I said, with that one out with Fleetwood Mac, Rumors.
Oh, so. It was so good. And I feel like, you know, if it's like a good book, a good song, a good movie, if you can listen to it over and over again and you don't get sick of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that for me. And I wanted to name my daughter Stevie too, but my husband put the kibosh on that. So we went with Penelope. But
Penelope, like, S? You know, Penelope. Stephanie, Stevie.
Penelope S, yes. So yeah, at least we had that. But
Oh, is that her middle name then?
No, not. All wish. Right. I wish. No, it's Anne. But her last name, we got the S at the end. But but yeah, I just love Stevie Nicks.
Sure. So here's what I have to ask as a writer that's been trying to get some things published. Like, I've had magazine articles published and other, I wrote this article for the Teamsters commemoration tomorrow that I'm really proud of. It was well received, but I want to write a book. But it's just, even with the work, my client work and working from home, it's like next to impossible with kids and the wife and other, you know, and all these other distractions. How do you make it work?
Oh, that is a really good question.
Especially
with a five-year-old. And I started this book 2 years ago. So she was three, which was even more hard. I mean, she demanded a lot of attention, and she's always been my number one priority. But how do you make it work? You have to be really disciplined, and you have to set aside the time that you're actually going to write. And I think sometimes we get in the mindset where if we can't actually think of something that day and we're not in our writer's mindset, we just give up.
Yeah.
But I still use that time to look at old photographs or just jot notes down. Like, I was like, this is an hour or two a day, and I'm going to sit here until something comes out, whether it's just a note, a thought, a memory, anything I wanted to add, and not give up. And I spent a lot of hours over at the Waukesha Public Library. They actually knew my first name, because when my daughter went to 3K over at St. Luke's, I went there the whole time she was at school.
Oh, nice.
So they were just like, hey, Amy.
We got a great library.
We do have a great library, actually. I actually enjoyed hanging out there. And they've done so much, you know, remodeling there. And I was like, this is actually relaxing over here. So I would go in one of their conference rooms, and they knew me. They were just like, hey, Amy. And I would shut the door and put my headphones on and just focus on writing. So it was that and local coffee shops. But I think the big thing to stay on track is making sure that you put it on your calendar like a job. And sticking with it, because I think there's that flexibility with writing, but like, it's not like a 9-to-5 or I have to be here, I have to write, but just dedicating that.
Yep. Having those critical deadlines.
Yes. An interesting fact, I feel like once you actually get into like the meat of what you're writing, now it's hard to shut off. Now you've just opened a can of worms and you're walking.
That's what I want
to
hear.
Yes. So you can do it. You can do it.
Sounds great. The conversation continues with Amy Lee Sazima, plus the Carol Minute coming up. And then we'll be hearing from Jane again with the second leg of our Farmers Market Report here in This Week in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And be sure to download the Civic Media app so you can take This Week in Waukesha and all the other great programming at Civic Media anywhere you go. Oh, no.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. This week in Waukesha on WAUK, Hour 2. I'm your host, Don Brown. I am joined by Amy Lee Sazema. And before we dive into the Carol Minute, that song there was Out of the Darkness by Little Steven, one of my favorite artists. Also a member of the E Street Band, along with Mighty Max. And I refer to that song because in the previous segment, in acting locally, thinking globally, I made some strong political stands. And I encourage everyone to check out my podcast page on waukradio.com. Just click on shows and then pick my show. And it's important to listen to previous shows. Last week we had Kathleen Cummings on, sharing her experiences overcoming a 30-month ordeal on charges of election fraud that she was acquitted on, and her redemption tour that also continued. She was on Earl Ingram's show this week. And then the week before we had Stephanie Olson, who had survived a really brutal sexual assault in her own store, but was instrumental in catching the assailant and delivering ultimate justice to him, and continues to be an advocate for other women or anyone that's been that suffered any type of assault. So check out those shows and learn more about what's going on in our lovely city of Waukesha if you haven't already. But we're glad you're here now. And for the Carol moment, I'm really pleased to announce that the Carol University football team has announced that they have a new defensive coordinator, and that's Garen Holly, who served as the Pioneer Special Teams coordinator the past 3 years, and he also serves as Carol Athletics Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Representative and Student Work Director. And he's a terrific guy, lovely guy, great family man, and he's done so much for Carol already. I'm really excited about seeing him in this role as defensive coordinator, taking over for Zach Pfeffer, who has he's vacated his football career and is pursuing other interests, and we certainly wish him well. But we're excited to have Coach Holly on the show next week, so tune in for that. But also, I got an email, I believe it was yesterday, this morning, from Anika King from the class of 23 at Carol, who was Carol University social media specialist. And so we're really glad that she reached out and have invited her to contribute any news and information that she would like us to share in the Carol Minute coming up. So more to look forward to. But back here with my guest, Amy Lee Sazema. We talked about her new book, Fleetwood Dreams. And it's climbing a mountain after
a landslide.
After that's a landslide. So, and Landslide's another Fleetwood Mac song, right?
Yeah. So it actually is, I think.
Yep. The first part of the song is first part of the title is dedicated to her family's favorite band, your parents and yourself, Fleetwood Mac.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we've had some good conversations about favorite Fleetwood Mac songs. Another one of mine is Gypsy.
Oh, I love Gypsy.
I love that.
Love Gypsy.
Again, when MTV first hit the scene, like that was one of the better videos.
Was it? I don't think
I've never seen
the Gypsy video.
Oh my God, it's great. Stevie Nicks pretty much. Yeah, I mean, the whole band's in it, but it focuses on her, and it's just really well done.
You know what's interesting is I've been just typing in Stevie Nicks on my Apple playlist, and I'm actually hearing songs I've never heard. I know she has, like, some newer stuff, but I'm like, they just keep I don't know. It surprises me.
Yeah, she continues to perform and do great things, and so it's exciting. And it's exciting meeting somebody, a younger person that's was big on Fleetwood Mac, even like long before that came out, long before you were born.
Yeah.
So very cool stuff. So can you share some of these kind of maybe personal moments that the book focuses in on?
Sure, sure.
If you're comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I better get comfortable, right? That's what my book's about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I lost my mom and my twin brother tragically. I know. So I was 16 when I lost my mom unexpectedly, 22 when I lost my brother. And those were just, those are really hard times to lose people. Because it's like right before your senior year at a moment where you're just going to go out in the world and you just want to have a positive start. And it was like, oh. But then when I was a junior in college, my twin brother was actually killed, which is another part of the book. I wasn't going to say it because I was like, well, people need to read the book. But I realized it's actually in the summary. So people are going to know that.
Yeah.
But it was really, really unexpected, obviously, and tragic. And I just thought, my life's over. I mean, I feel like anybody that's gone through a hard loss and grief, it's just, it's tragic. It's hard to pick yourself up from that. But I did with, and again, in the synopsis of the book, but with a few hard lessons along the way.
Yeah.
And so I always thought about writing about it, but I just wasn't comfortable really going back to those places. And that's another thing about writing a book. I think
healing.
It's easier. Yes, it is healing, but it is hard because you go back to those places and then you have to shut it off and be a parent or go to work. You know, we all wear many hats.
Sure.
But then I had another loss 3 years ago, an aunt that I was really close to. And that's when I was like, you know what? It was interesting. I handled all those losses different, I think, because they all happened at different ages and different points in my life.
Sure.
When you're young, it's a little more immature how you might handle it.
Yeah.
And then when you're older, there's a maturity about it. Like, well, we all eventually experience this. And especially being a parent, you don't really have the choice of laying in bed all day and sulking or, you know, doing other things that, you know, to mask the pain. And, that's when I just felt like my heart really pulled me. My daughter was in 3K, like I said, and one day I just like went to the library. I had so much inside of me and I just sat there and started writing. And I was like, and then I sat and wrote more and more and more, and it just eventually all just came out.
Most people don't realize the therapeutic power of writing. Even if you're not a good writer, when you get all those emotions out on paper, suddenly you find yourself completely exhausted in a good way.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you've forgotten what you're angry about or sad about.
Yep.
Or at least, I mean, you don't necessarily forget, but you feel like a huge weight's been lifted off your shoulders because you've pushed it out of your system in one way or another.
Yeah, it actually has been really healing because I feel like for many years I was like, I don't want to talk about that. I mean, nobody wants to talk about the hard stuff in life. It's awkward.
Right.
And especially like I've always been a little bubbly by nature. So then it's like this imbalance of like, oh, here comes this bubbly person, but she has all this, you know, deep stuff inside of her. But I also feel like I forced myself to be very vulnerable, and I felt that that was really important because I think if we can be vulnerable, it gives other people a chance to be vulnerable.
Yes.
And I've experienced that too.
Yeah. That's also one of my charges, is raising greater awareness for mental health. And it's important for people to recognize that admitting vulnerability is a strength. It's an act of courage.
Yes.
And it's important to healing and growth and so many other things. But we're looking forward to continuing this conversation and learning more about Amy Lee Sasma's new book, Fleetwood Dreams. Plus, Jane Matinier from Matinier on Air will be joining us in the second leg of the Farmers Market Report. And then we're looking forward to this call-in from Bob Habish talking about his experiences in the 25th anniversary of the Iron Workers tragedy in the Miller Park construction. And so much more here on This Week in Waukesha on WUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And please download the Civic Media app if you have not already. Oh, yeah. Afraid of changing.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Gaza Health Ministry says an Israeli attack in the south of the Gaza Strip has killed 71 people and injured many more. The BBC's Nick Beek reports from Israel.
Videos from the Mawasi safe zone show smoldering wreckage and bloodied casualties being loaded onto stretchers. People desperately try to pick through the rubble of a large crater with their bare hands as relatives are consoled nearby.
Israel says the target was the head of Hamas's military wing. Amid calls for him to drop out, President Biden in Detroit says, nope.
I'm the nominee of this party because 14 million Democrats like you voted for me in the primaries. You made me the nominee, no one else, not the press, not the pundits, not the insiders, not donors. You, the voters.
A massive data breach for AT&T customers, but such breaches involve pretty much all of us these days.
Almost every person's personal information has been breached, has been hacked.
That's CBS's Jolynn Kent, CBS News Brief.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers upset by the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals last night, 5-2 to AmFam Field in Milwaukee. The Nationals able to snap a five-game losing streak. Brewers right-hander Freddie Peralta struggled, giving up 4 runs on 10 hits through 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I mean, I think Freddie made a few mistakes, but I thought generally he threw the ball good. And, you know, they just lost 5 in a row, so they're kind of hungry to win, and they put some balls in play. And, yeah, and their starter did a nice job to keep us at bay.
The Nationals' Jackson Rutledge held Milwaukee to just 3 hits on 2 walks over 4 2/3 innings in his first ever major league start. A familiar face, Jesse Winker, who struggled last year with the Brewers, crushed a home run 403 feet to right center field, his 11th home run of the year. He also drove in a run with an RBI double. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 5-1 in St. Louis. Chicago's now won 5 in a row. The Reds got past the Marlins 7-4. Pirates over the White Sox 4-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WAUK weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield. Stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, 82. For tonight, a low around 72 with a scattered shower or thunderstorm late. For Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 91 with a heat index around 95. Hot again for Monday.
It's 64 at our studios.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight. And Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
Join the City of Waukesha Parks Recreation and Forestry as they celebrate winter in July. Activities start at Buckner Pool featuring the Winter Holiday Happenings Pool Party on Saturday, July 13th, starting at 6 p.m. A daily admission or pool pass is your invitation to come play in the snow with Frosty. Winter Holiday Happening would not be complete as the Monday Night at the Movies features the Polar Express in Cutler Park on July 15th, starting at 6 p.m. Don't be left out. Take part in these July winter holiday activities.
Hi, I'm Cesar Milan. People are always commenting on how happy and healthy my dogs are. One of the reasons is the food my dogs eat.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a premium freeze-dried raw dog food designed to support your dog's health, happiness, and lifespan.
Their joints are more flexible, their teeth are cleaner, and their coat shinier. And why they seem more youthful even as they age.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. I've helped countless dogs thrive with one simple concept. Your dog needs a high meat diet similar to what their ancestors ate in the wild.
Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend using 50 years of nutritional research and experience, helping dogs make incredible turnarounds. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies, their wild-caught, ultra-crunchy cod skin treats. Go to drmartypets.com/good or text GOOD to 511-511.
Your order is backed with a 90-day guarantee.
All dogs are unique. Your dog results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Pete Schwaba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m., where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
Wasting time
This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app. I'm your host, Don Brown, and we are pleased to have back, which gives me another opportunity for redemption, Jane Matineer from Matineer on Air, Mondays through Fridays, 10 to 12, who is our correspondent at the Waukesha Farmers Market. Jane, how's everything going?
It is beautiful down here, Don, and you got it right. Thank you so for that. No, we are going to be out here until noon today. Come on down to the Waukesha Farmers Market. It is in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank, right along the river here. If you stop by the Civic Media tent, you have a chance to register for this great brand new bicycle. We have some suckers for the kids. We have treats for your dogs. In fact, we just met an obviously killer, vicious attack puppy, a four-month-old dachshund puppy named Zorro. Stop by with your Zorro, and we'll get him a treat. Speaking of dogs, you can actually get your dog's nails clipped here. They also have homemade dog treats. You name it, it's here at the Waukesha the Waukesha Farmers Market. Grass-fed beef, carrots, onions, potatoes, radishes, piles of them, nice. Piles of lettuce, fresh bakery, pies and scones and bread. If you're hungry, not a problem. All kinds of food trucks, street waffles, fresh donuts, lemonade, empanadas, and of course, the greatest scones on the face of the planet.
That's right.
In fact, Don, I bought five of them.
Nice.
If anybody wants to stop by the tent and try one of these scones, I will offer you a scone of peace, and we can sit down and have a nice long chat. I hope to see you out here this morning. We are here until noon. This is Jane Matineer at the Waukesha Farmers Market for WAUK Radio. Back to you, Don.
Hey, thanks so much, Jane Matineer at the Farmers Market. And we're so glad to have Jane as part of our WAUK family. Be sure to check out Matineer on Air if you haven't already, Monday through Friday, 10 to 12. Her producer, co-host, Greg Bach is hilarious as well. They really have a great time together, and you get to learn a lot too about what's going on throughout the state. And so back here with Amy Lee Sazema.
Yep, I'm here.
Fitness guru and author of first time author of her new book, Fleetwood Dreams.
Yes. Climbing a mountain after a landslide. Now so you just have to add that. You have to add that.
Climbing a mountain after a landslide. And a lot of Fleetwood Mac references in there.
Yes.
And it was inspired by some tragedies in your life that you overcame. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned one about a story you wanted to share. You shared it with the other media outlets earlier about your mother and her heart.
Yes. Okay. So I was, like I said, I had to kind of go back because I think my book starts around the age of 7, 8. I mean, how much do we really remember? But I had to go through some old photographs to kind of strike up my memory on that. And so I'm digging in this box, and I think this was last year in the fall, and I find a letter at the way bottom of it, a typed out letter from a man who has my mom's heart.
Wow.
Thanking her, or thanking the family actually for her heart and the gift of life that he had after that. And so I'm reading this. I just can't believe it. I'm like, I didn't even know that my mom was an organ donor, to be honest. I was so young that I didn't really pay much attention at that time. I was just overcoming the grief. And I call them the dance moms. They're going to be so happy. I gave them a shout out, by the way, but my daughter's in dance. So we have a thread called the dance moms. And I was like, you guys aren't going to believe this. And so they said, we have to help you find him. And I said, you guys, in the letter, it says he's retired. This is 22, 23 years ago.
Sure.
He's not around. Like I'm thinking, and if he is another state, he's away, whatever. So my friends, his name was unique. His daughter's names were unique. They found him. And they gave me his home phone number. I'm like, you guys, within like an hour or two, I'm like, I am not calling him. And I did. They were like, they wouldn't let me not call him. So I actually called, introduced myself to him. He's still around. He's lived for 20 some years. He was so kind on the phone. I mean, just like, I've always wondered if anybody received this letter. And I just felt like, I also felt like, it was a message from my mom. Like I felt like it was the moment that I was actually supposed to see this. And it did bring a lot of healing because I went through that grief of losing my mom. But now I got to talk to somebody who lived how many years? He's like, I got to see my daughters get married, my grandkids grow old because of this gift. And we had a local station that recently covered it, and we want to meet. He's in his 80s now. So I'm hoping that his daughter said she's going to bring him to my book launch. Which, can I say my book launch information?
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, thank you.
All right. So my book launch information is it's going to be at the Twisted Vine in Pewaukee, August 20th. That's a Tuesday, 5:30 to 8 p.m., kind of open house style. Come buy a book, grab a drink. I'm going to put out, they have these little snack boards. I'm going to buy a couple. And so whoever comes, you can, you know, come and eat a snack. And so, yeah, but she said, you know, I hope I can get my dad there and we can give each other a hug and meet.
I love it.
Time's ticking.
This will be your first face-to-face meeting then?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
great. So,
yes.
Hey, let's put a pin in this, but we're gonna re-talk about the promotional event too, so nobody forgets. But we have Bob Habish on the line. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much for calling in. And as a little background for everybody, Bob Habish was the attorney who represented the three widows of the three ironworkers who were killed in that tragic accident at what was then called the Miller Park construction. And Bob, you'll be participating in the commemorations tomorrow at what we now call American Family Park or American Family Field. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So terrific. Now, we had a phone conversation yesterday, and what really hit home with me was a story you had shared from, I guess it was from one of the victims' widows, Jeffrey Wisher, and something he said to his wife the night before the accident. Could you share that now?
Yeah, well, I got a call early morning of July 15th, 1999, from a lady called Trish Wisher. She told me that her husband had been killed the day before at the Miller Park, and that he had come home one night and told her that the place was dangerous as hell and people were going to die there. And he told her that if anything happened to me, I want you to call Bob Habish. I didn't know him, but apparently he had heard of me. And thus, that morning, she did call, and I met with her and told her I'd be happy to represent her. And after that, we got Myers DeGrave on board, and then another
William DeGrave's widow,
Mona Starr, joined us. And so I was representing three of the widows.
And Bob, you mentioned too, or what were the reasons? Why were the working conditions so dangerous? It wasn't because of the iron workers who have a strong commitment to safety. Could you shed some light on that?
Well, iron workers are often performing dangerous stuff, anyways. You know, they're the guys that go up on skyscrapers. But the site manager at Miller Park in the construction area for Mitsubishi didn't see a safety procedure that he liked. He was committing safety violations over and over again, endangering the lives of these iron workers. And of course, his biggest safety violation was on July 14th, 1999, when he ordered a roof lift of a huge roof piece in a windy day, causing the large crane to fall over and hitting the man bucket these three guys were in, and they fell to their deaths. So that was the result of his practice of safety violations.
And I remember in my discussions with Brent Emmons, the business manager for the Ironworkers Local Number 8, he had mentioned that after that the ironworkers refused to go back to the site unless that gentleman from Mitsubishi was removed, and that the ironworkers would be calling the shots on safety protocols moving forward, and was successful in that effort, as I understand it. But Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would say, but what I remember too is you'd insisted that there would be no settlements, that this was going to go all the way to trial, that you were going to get the most justice for these three widows and their families?
Well, the obviously the widows were very upset, and I would say pissed off. And after my discovery showed all the violations that had occurred and how unsafe the place was, they were determined to go to trial, as I was. And so any attempts at settlement were rebuffed. Mitsubishi wanted to settle the case confidentially, and we said, no way, we're going to trial, because they wanted to punish Mitsubishi in a trial, and as we did. So that's why the case was never going to settle right from the start.
And you obviously had the reputation and the influence to make that happen. Is it fair to say that other lawyers may not have taken that the distance? Might have reached settlement, in other words?
Well, I think I always had the reputation of being kind of a hard ass. that I'd rather try cases than settle cases. So it was no heavy lift for me that the people wanted to go to trial, because I wanted to as well.
Sure.
Sometimes you're forced into settlement because the clients want to settle the case, but in this instance, that was not going to be a problem.
Sure. You know, and Bob, too, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that another act of justice that you championed was the commissioning and even the financing of the memorial statue at AmFam that honors those three iron workers. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, after the case was over, I talked to my partners at the firm. I said, you know, I'd like to have a reminder of the sacrifices these three guys made while building this beautiful stadium, and that people who came to the stadium ought to be reminded of that fact, and that I wanted to commission three statues memorializing the three workers, but it would have to be on the Brewer property. So I contacted Frank Busolacci, who at that time was the head of the Southeastern Wisconsin Professional Baseball.
Yeah, and head of the Teamsters
committee, which was supervising the whole operation. I told him what I wanted to do. He said, "Well, we got to get Brewer's permission." I said, "Well, do what you can." And through some negotiation, the Brewers finally agreed, and we set up three statues. I commissioned it, and my firm paid for it. And they created the entire area, you know, with the wall, which memorialized all the workers who had worked on the construction of Miller Park. So that's how it came to be a reality.
Sounds great. So, Bob, we have about 30 seconds. Any final comments you want to make as you prepare for the commemorations tomorrow? For the 25th anniversary?
No, I think that the jury verdict, which occurred on December 1st, 2000, sent a message to employers of construction sites that they can't play fast and loose with the lives of their workers. And I think the message went across the country, as a matter of fact, and I think they got the message. So I think that worker safety probably was made better by the outcome of this case. At least I hope so.
Sure. Bob Habish, thank you so much for sharing this morning. I am humbled and honored to have you here on this show. And we continue in our final segment with Amy Lee Sazima, and we keep those iron workers and their families in our hearts here. And this week in Waukesha, WUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Sandwiches are the original fast food, and what could be easier than loading up a few slices of Country Hearth multigrain bread with your favorite deli meats and cheeses, then piling on freshly picked veggies from your garden? Or maybe a good old-fashioned peanut butter and homemade strawberry jam sandwich made on Kids' Choice. This summer, when you're on your way to the lake or park, skip the drive-thru. Pack a cooler full of your favorite sandwiches instead. Country Hearth Breads, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, listening this week in Waukesha, and one of my favorites, One World by Utopia. And as I mentioned in my earlier segment on acting locally, thinking globally, about my support as why I feel people should support President Biden, is that we want to maintain our Republican small R form of government where the people have a say, where they have a voice. And I want to thank Bob Habish again for appearing via phone and sharing his experiences about that calamity involving the iron workers. And the justice for those families that was achieved thanks to Bob and his team, and the improved safety conditions for iron workers and other building trades workers on construction sites that was achieved, that would not happen in an oligarchy with a king. And that's why, it's nothing about the person that could be the most benevolent. It's the system. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And it's we all should have a say in this this American experiment, this democratic experience, small d. And so, Bob's efforts and his tributes, again, would not have happened in a different form of government other than the one that we know and can improve upon. So, but anyway, back with Amy Lee Sazma in her fantastic book, Fleetwood Dreams,
Climbing a Mountain
After a Landslide. And a landslide. So, and much of the title inspired by her favorite band, her parents' favorite band, Fleetwood Mac, but it also is a deep dive into some personal tragedies she's experienced and how she's healed. And yeah, I want to ask, because your work in physical therapy, in addition to the writing that you found to be, the physical therapy also has to be pretty therapeutic, right?
Yeah, I think actually there's a part in the book too.
Or the exercise, I should say.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. Yeah, there's a part in the book where I kind of dive deep into the yoga, and I decide, because I think trauma stores in our body. You can tell when people are going through something. They kind of slouch their shoulders. They don't put their chest out.
Yeah.
As you sit up nice and tall.
Sure.
Love it. Put your heart out there. But definitely the trauma that I went through was a huge reason that I decided to go back for the 200 hours of yoga teacher training. And yoga was really instrumental in helping me heal. And also just being mindful and kind of looking inward, like, what do I need? Eating healthy. I love holistic things along with modern medicine. But I just decided at that point, too, that I wanted to help other people that had trauma in their body, whether it was just something to do with grief or the emotional or physical. So that kind of was what deterred me into that. And actually case management, too, because like I said, I went to school to be a news reporter. I was interning at a local station, and this chapter's in there as well. And I realized that my grief was kind of sneaking up on me. And in news reporting, you're kind of going out to these stories before anybody else. And I just can't report on this. I need to step away, heal, and maybe do something where I'm helping people.
Sure.
And a friend of mine worked as a case manager, and he's like, you have a bachelor's degree, and in Whitewater, your two jobs are, you're either going to bartend or probably work at one of the group homes there. Those are the options. So I went the group home route. So he's like, you have experience helping people. You've worked in a group home. You'd be great.
And so mixologists are therapists too, though.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. And I've just always been a person. I've always been really empathetic. My dad has always told me, like, just very sensitive and empathetic. And but then I think through the loss and tragedy, it deterred me even more. Like, I just want to help people. And hopefully that's what this book will do too.
Sure, sure. No, that's right. Tell us again when your, I guess your, what do you call it, your release event?
Yep. The book launch is August 20th, Twisted Vine in
Pewaukee. That's a Saturday.
Yeah.
What time?
No, it's Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
It's a random Tuesday.
Oh, August. I was thinking July. Sorry. Okay.
That's all right.
It's a random Tuesday. Good time for a book launch, though.
It is. 5:30 to 8 p.m. Twisted Vine. Stop on in. Yep.
Is it a bookstore?
It's not.
Like a wine bar.
It's a wine bar.
Okay.
And you know why? I went to a bookstore and I said, you know, the people that are coming, I just want this to be fun. I want people to come out, have a beverage, have a snack.
Twisted Vine makes a good name for a bookstore, I think. They should add some books there to the portfolio.
Maybe I can pitch that.
There you
just
go.
My
yeah.
book, though. No one
I
else
imagine
is.
Like ivy, like a brick wall on the exterior.
Yeah,
like some
you got
ivy.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel
very
like
cool.
It sounds cool.
What's
so,
the address in Pewaukee?
Oh, man. You're going to make me
That's
Google
okay.
this.
Well, just what's your, we can find you on social media,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, you can find me on social media. You can
okay.
go to my website, www.amysasma.com.
Flew of Dreams, climbing a mountain after a landslide.
Thank you for doing that. Yep. You can buy a book there. You can pre-order a book. You can go to my publisher's site, 1016 Press. You can pre-order a book there.
Waukesha Publisher.
They're amazing. Or again, you can stop on by the book launch and get your book.
And we got to talk to Michael about having him on now, because he's a new, kind of the new owner, publisher, if you will. And like to learn more about him and like to support local businesses. So especially something like that. Is that 2 minutes, Max? 2.5 minutes. Okay. Thank you. So love that extra 30 seconds. So in this time we have left, what else do you want our listeners to know about Amy Lee Sasma that we haven't talked about already?
Oh,
or about the book.
About the book. Buy the book. If you know somebody, you know what? I feel like even if you haven't gone through tremendous loss, there's touch points in the book that I feel like will benefit everybody. We've all gone through struggles.
Sure, sure.
So buy the book. Please support me. It's my first book. Write a review if it's good. If it's not, just forget about it. It never happened. But no, just supporting authors and anybody in the creative field, we really appreciate it. A lot of work that goes into it.
That sounds great. So, and you'll be out there busy promoting the book. Any other type of promotions you're doing?
Yes. So I will be at Martha Merrill's bookstore. It is a Friday night live. So we'll have some live music. That is the 23rd at 5. Well,
August,
I'll be there at 5:30. August 23rd.
Okay.
Because it's got to be after the book comes out. I will get there at 5:30, but my table will be set up out there. You can hear some live music.
And you'll be outside, yeah.
I'll be outside.
They got great country music usually over at Martha Merrill's.
All right. So, I'm thinking about bringing some candy or some snacks to kind of entice people. She said
Sounds
I got to go schmooze, sell my books.
They know.
So I'm going to be there.
Amy Lee Sasma, fitness and yoga instructor at YMCA at the Carroll University. And author of the new book, Fleetwood Dreams, Climbing a Mountain After a Landslide, and huge Fleetwood Mac fan. Maybe Max will give us another Fleetwood Mac to close out the show. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I want to thank my first hour guest, Jessica Smith of Flippin' Fabulous. Again, Amy Lee Sasma. Thanks again to Bob Habish for calling in. Please enjoy this beautiful Saturday. Please act responsibly for the convention. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and so is good mental health. And go Ramil Mahagav Galer, and see ya!
Open up, everything's waiting for you. You can go your own way, go your own way. You can call it another lonely day. You can go your own way, go your own way.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigby Olson. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Republican National Convention is in Milwaukee, putting Wisconsin in the spotlight.
we're there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Republicans' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Join us live next week from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.